Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get to the debate highlights and more here coming up. Really, I'm looking at the calendar, doing a calendar recon for you here this morning on this Wednesday morning. And first day back after several days off. I got to go to an incredible wedding for a family member and took the whole family. And so big thanks to David Noble for covering down on the show. And then also thanks to, of course, our normal guests that join us throughout the week and continued to join David Noble while I was out. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal, John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, George Blackard. I got to listen to that on the Montana Talks podcast while I was flying back. I listened to a little bit of Freedom Friday with George and David, and then as I landed yesterday, I hopped in the vehicle and of course turned it right to your favorite talk radio station, and boom, there was John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, joining David Noble, and so I jumped right in on the middle of a great program. But that's what's so great about having great guest hosts like David Noble covering down on the show is the fact that you can actually take a vacation and just know that, man, the show is rocking and rolling, especially at a critical time like this. I mean, here we are. You know, it's getting into silly season already, as you can tell by the fake news media coverage here as we head into September and literally less than 3 months away until Election Day. So that's why we're getting into the post-Labor Day silly season, where the fake news media is just doing everything they can, much like what you saw last night in this debate. Where, you know, President Trump summed it up the best, that he was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, and he talked about how basically, you know, the press in this country is so dishonest. And you can copy that statement and mirror it here in Montana and talk about how the Montana press is so dishonest by and large. Obviously, there's some good ones out there, but by and large, most of them are in the back pocket of the Democrat Party. They're in the back pocket of John Tester, just like the ABC fake news moderators that you saw last night, constantly attacking Trump, constantly defending Kamala. I mean, at one point I was like, does this David Muir guy, does he think that he's the one debating Donald Trump? I mean, it's like, go let her speak. Why don't you let Kamala Harris speak here for a moment? But this David Muir guy from ABC thought he was the one debating Donald J. Trump. So he thought he was the one that had to mansplain everything. Just a pathetic job by ABC fake news last night. But, you know, we're entering this silly season, of course. And so, anyway, we'll get to the debate coverage and much more. Definitely want to get your reactions. But, yeah, looking at the calendar, we've got, sometimes you will have a few guests sprinkled in here or there. But today, on this Wednesday, we've got the phone lines open for the entire morning. So a lot of ground to cover. And hey, let me know if there's something that you guys talked about over the last few days. If I bring something up and you're like, oh yeah, Aaron, we covered that. And if I miss something, you fill me in. But I want to start. I want to start, of course, today. It is 9/11. We're going to start there right after this quick break.
Securing America.
At 8:46 a.m. on September the 11th, 2001, hijacked American Airlines Flight 11 crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. At 9:03, hijacked United 175 crashed into the South Tower. President Bush, at an event at an elementary school in Florida, spoke at 9:31 a.m.
Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
6 minutes later, hijacked American Airlines Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon. The South Tower of the Trade Center collapsed at 9:59. A fourth hijacked plane, United Flight 93, headed towards Washington, crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania at 10:03 a.m. after passengers stormed the cockpit. At 10:28 a.m., the North Tower, One World Trade, came down. In all, nearly 3,000 died. Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, along with some scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially from the Bozeman area westward. High temperature readings ranging from around 81 in Bozeman to near 90 in Billings. For tonight, scattered showers, a few thunder showers around the region, especially towards Bozeman. Lows back in the upper 40s to the mid-50s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, yeah, we'll get into the debate coverage. Definitely want to hear your reactions on the debate last night and more. I was, of course, posting on X throughout the debate as I was watching it last night. Got a couple of stories on our Montana Talks website ready to roll for you here this morning as well. But I think the fact that today is 9/11, that today is the anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks, is a fitting reminder of the serious, the seriousness facing our country right now. I mean, that was one of the big takeaways of this debate last night, is we are on the brink of World War III with everything that is going on right now. And look, Kamala Harris, she could stand up there last night and say anything she wanted to. Now, Donald Trump held her to account. Donald Trump took her to task. The fake news ABC moderators never did. They constantly were interrupting Donald Trump and had their phony fact checks on Donald Trump, but they didn't do that to Kamala Harris. But anyway, but I just was sitting there thinking, like, here's Kamala Harris bragging, oh, we're no longer spending, you know, billions every year on a war in Afghanistan. Instead you're spending billions on another war right now. And the Middle East is on fire. And the Iranians are you know, closer to having a nuclear weapons. And you guys came in, the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester regime, and you came in and you destroyed the Abraham Peace Accords, and the Middle East is on fire right now. But just today is where, it's the anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks. And it's crazy to think that there's some people that are young enough that are listening to a show like this that, weren't even necessarily alive when 9/11 happened. But I think what we all remember is how everything changed that day. Anybody who was alive that day, you remember exactly where you were at. You remember exactly what you felt. And you remember how everything changed that day. You think everything changed from terrorist attacks like 9/11. Imagine if we were actually in and entering World War III. I mean, that's the situation facing this country right now because of the disastrous failed leadership back in Washington, D.C. But anyway, I wanted to start this morning by playing this montage. This was a montage that Fox News Radio put together back on the 9/11 anniversary back in 2020. And it's about 3.5 minutes long, but I want to play this thing, this full thing for you, since we are here on the 9/11 anniversary. And I think it's also a reminder of how everything can change in an instant. And I think it was Pete Hegseth earlier this morning on Fox and Friends. He said he feels like we are in a September 10th America right now, where a lot of people just do not know what potentially awaits right around the corner.
We have a very tragic alert for you right now. An incredible plane crash into the World Trade Center here at the lower tip of Manhattan.
I see heavy smoke coming from the building of the World Trade Center.
We're being told a second plane crashed into the building on the opposite end.
That's not an accident. That's on purpose. Heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building. Second explosion in number 2 World Trade Center on the upper floors. Number 2 World Trade Center explosion on the upper floors.
Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center.
in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
I got people coming out from all sides of the building.
People jumping out. People just kept jumping and jumping and jumping. And you could still see they were alive because they were flailing around.
I was 10 minutes late. Not even late. I was 10 minutes late.
Working there?
I work on the 86 floor.
What seems to have happened is that we had an aircraft intentionally fly into the Pentagon.
I did see, hear the blast and saw the smoke rising from the crash later. And this was, shortly after hearing the news about the crashes at the World Trade Towers.
Many in the building felt a thud and heard kind of a muffled explosion.
We're in the midst of a tragedy, you know that. Some people jumping from the building, from the 100th floor, and I saw the building just coming down.
City Watch tower just collapsed.
I hope I live. I hope I live. It's coming down on me. Here it comes. I'm getting behind a car.
We do have a confirmation of apparently another plane crash about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh.
Today is obviously one of the most difficult days in the history of the city and the country. The tragedy that we're all undergoing right now is something that we've had nightmares about, or probably thought wouldn't happen.
This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you! I can hear you! The rest of the world hears you!
Back right after this.
Hey. With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northlund. This coming Thursday, USDA will release its crop production and world ag supply and demand estimates report, and for the first time ever, the reports will include objective yield data from farmers out in the field. Traders will closely monitor the reports, though analysts predict modest changes in the data. For wheat, no significant changes are expected for production, but wheat export sales are up, suggesting stronger demand for U.S. wheat. Indian stocks may slightly decrease to 820 million bushels, while global stocks could fall to 255.8 million metric tons. After a summer of declining prices, corn may see a slight rebound, and analysts expect USDA to estimate a 2024 crop of 15.15 billion bushels, slightly down from last year's record. Analysts are also predicting an increase in USDA's soybean crop estimate to 4.6 billion bushels, with a yield of 53.4 bushels per acre. As for pasture conditions out across the nation, dry weather has impacted the eastern Corn Belt with worsening pasture conditions in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio as of Sunday. Meanwhile, some regions in the southwest, notably New Mexico, with the good to excellent condition, jumping 16 points to 34%. And drought remains a major challenge in top cow-calf producing states like Texas, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Montana, and Kentucky, where over 30% of pastures remain in poor or very poor condition. In contrast, states like Missouri, Florida, and North Dakota are faring better, with over 55% of their pastures rated good to excellent. Ranchers, will you help 10-year-old cowboy Grant Heaton find a cure for Duchenne muscular dystrophy? DMD is a rare genetic disease in juvenile boys that destroys all muscle. Grant's dad, Paul Heaton.
There's no cure, really anything we can do to stop it. So the only other way we could fight was for a cure.
Consign a portion of your cattle sales to the Calves to Cure DMD All-Class Cattle Sale September 19th, 1 p.m. at Billings Livestock Commission. Visit Calves to Cure DMD online or call BLS for details.
The Montana Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization with 19,000 members strong that gives back to our rural communities. They offer scholarships for higher education as well as scholarships for agricultural conferences and programs like Montana Farm Bureau's ACE and Real Montana. Their foundation has given thousands of dollars and many grants for community projects, and they host the state's Young Farmer and Rancher Leadership Conference. So join today and be part of their mission for stronger rural communities.
Nominations are now open for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Environmental Stewardship Award, which recognizes cattle producers' excellence in conservation and stewardship. Established in 1991, well, that's the year I was born, the award celebrates efforts to improve wildlife habitat and protect the environment. Applications, including a nomination letter and three recommendation letters, are due by February 17th of 2025. Winners will be chosen based on their management of water, wildlife, soil, and sustainability. Regional winners will then be recognized at CattleCon 2026 in Nashville, Tennessee. Visit environmentalstewardship.org to make a nomination today. In other headlines, USDA has announced the availability of an updated guideline to make recommendations to strengthen the documentation that supports animal raising or environmental-related claims on meat or poultry product labeling. The action builds on significant work USDA has already undertaken to protect consumers from false and misleading labels. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblond.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. A lot to get to here on this Wednesday morning. Obviously, I know a lot of you are going to want to weigh in on the debate from last night. I think it was so reminiscent of Trump versus Hillary Clinton, one of the Trump-Hillary debates back in 2016, where Hillary gets up there, and if you're just one of these political pundits that's watching the debate, you're like, oh, well, she scored this point, she scored that point, she scored. But on the broader battle at hand, Hillary Clinton, even if she thought she won that battle of that debate, she ended up losing the war because Donald Trump was talking to the American people on the issues that the American people cared about, whereas Hillary Clinton was just trying to score political points. And that's exactly what Kamala Harris did last night as well. She basically was reversing everything that she's already said before on camera. She was simply trying to score political points. And the fake, phony chin grab, I mean, it was all so orchestrated. It was all so calculated. And I just think that most of the American people who were watching the debate looking for a real discussion saw nothing but pure phoniness out of Kamala Harris with the orchestrated chin grab and the constant lip-smacking noises in the background. Nancy in Roundup, what did you think about the debate last night?
I thought it was a worthless, terrible debate. Of course, I knew it would be with ABC moderators. I don't know why anybody has a debate using ABC moderators or NBC or CBS or whatever. It was horrible. They brought up January 6th, racism, which has nothing to do with today's issues. Nothing was mentioned about China and their quest for world dominance. Nothing about Russia or Ukraine. Nothing about the American that was tortured and murdered in Israel last week. And I just found it extraordinary that Kamala Harris would have the guts to say that we don't have any military anywhere in the world right now. And that was just outrageous because we have men and women serving in our military and our Navy everywhere in the world as we speak. It was just a horrible, horrible debate. I got absolutely nothing out of it except anger. And I hope that people take this into consideration on November the 5th. We cannot allow this insipid stoop in the White House.
All right, Nancy, great to hear from you. Yeah, she made some point about how, well, there's no American service members that are in a combat zone. It's like, have you not seen any of the daily sit reps showing the rockets being fired by the Iranian-backed elements at our sailors? There's soldiers scattered throughout the Middle East right now. I mean, for Pete's sake, for her to claim that, well, we're not spending billions on a war.
To Fox News.
All right, yeah, one of the thing I want to get to, I played that montage from Fox News Radio remembering the 9/11 terror attacks. It was a worthwhile tribute yesterday on 9/10. They had a big ceremony honoring the 13 fallen service members at the Abbey Gate during that disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. The Gold Star families were there being honored as well. Montana Senator Steve Daines, who introduced the legislation to recognize those 13 fallen service members with this congressional gold medal, spoke at the ceremony. I think I'll play that for you, I think, coming up after the next break. We were able to get audio of his full remarks for you. But when it comes to the debate yesterday, here is Sean Hannity with his recap, talking about how basically this was 3-on-1.
I had a good time. I think it was our best debate ever. I thought it was really good. We had 3-1. But I anticipated.
Let's talk about that. 3-1, and all of her radical positions they leave on the table.
Yeah. Now we had a lot of negative kind of stuff. Look, I saw on your show last night, they had 100% positive coverage on ABC, and I had 94% negative coverage.
93% negative.
I exaggerate.
You got an extra percent non-negative. As you were with her tonight, to think that we come out of this debate and we have no answer to her co-sponsoring the Green New Deal, $93 trillion, I say the end of capitalism, to come out of this, you know, government-run health care and no answer to eliminating private health insurance.
Well, we brought them all up. You know, every one of the things that you, we brought it all up. And I also ended with, why hasn't she done it before? Why didn't she fix, you know, she's there complaining. Why didn't she fix all these things?
Were you really willing to leave the stage and go home if she was going to go fix it in Washington?
No, you know what? I would have left. I would have said, go home and fix it. I'll leave with you, okay? But she's not going to fix it. So she's complaining about all the stuff that's wrong with the country, and they've been there for 3.5 years. And I wanted to save that for my last little summation. And I actually mentioned in there, too. I just thought it was a great debate. I think we showed the weakness. But the sad part is they're destroying our country. You know, when you get right down to it, debate, good debate. I enjoyed it. But it's a very sad thing because our country is in decline. We are really being laughed at all over the world. And that's tough to take.
All right, that was President Trump on with Sean Hannity after the debate last night when he talked about being laughed at. I thought that was one of the worst moments for Kamala Harris last night was when she was laughing as President Trump was talking about Springfield, Ohio, and the influx, the invasion of Haitian so-called migrants into Ohio. And Kamala was sitting there laughing. And again, the political pundits will be like, oh, well, she really went after him on that. But what do the American people see? They see her laughing at the problems she created. I sent this out via X last night. ABC is blowing it. Trump is crushing it. Kamala with the phony, arrogant chin grab. X.com/Aaron Flint.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Is the Montana fire season over? It will take a few days to know for sure. The weather rolling into the Northern Rockies and High Plains this week could definitely help us move in that direction. National Weather Service forecasters say the heaviest rain developing today and continuing into Friday could drop as much as 1 to 2 inches of rain between the Highway 93 corridor and the divide, with lesser amounts east and west of that line. And there are warnings for hikers, climbers, and hunters in the backcountry, with snow levels dropping to 7,000 and even 6,000 feet before conditions warm again for the weekend. Members of her own and man's family are expressing heartfelt appreciation for Lake County law enforcement and others who helped resolve his disappearance and what has now developed into a murder case. Ed Loader's family posted on social media saying he fell victim to a heinous act born from a stranger's misguided sense of entitlement to a family inheritance. But they say they're grateful beyond words for the outpouring of support. A 70-year-old suspect remains in custody. The city of Bozeman is giving people a few more days to fill out a survey that will drive the future of the Bozeman Landmark Program. The survey asks residents about the age of the building they live or own and the priorities for historic preservation and what landmarks should always be a part of the Bozeman community. The survey can be found on the city of Bozeman's Facebook page. The Montana Attorney General's office is already delivering the first of those new kits aimed at helping teachers and school administrators deal with fentanyl in the state schools. Jason Laird reports the first kit was delivered last week.
In a new initiative to combat the fentanyl crisis, Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson announced a program to place opioid reversal kits in middle and high schools across the state. The kits, which include naloxone and CPR tools, aim to save lives by reversing opioid overdoses. The first kits were delivered to Billings Senior High School last week. This program is in partnership with the Montana Department of Justice and Facing Fentanyl. Reporting for the Montana State News Network, I'm Jason Laird.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What exactly is it that we want our local governments to do? To say that there's disagreement on this question would be an understatement. Beyond providing a core set of services like public safety, fire protection, roads, and the like, opinions are all over the place. Some want no-frills government. Others want larger governments that run buses, pools, and golf courses. The nice thing about cities is that they're fairly small, and we can usually sort ourselves out to get the kind of government closest to what we want. But there is one thing I think we can all agree on, and that is we want our governments to be efficient with the dollars we give them, especially with the escalating property taxes. This involves more than simply scouring local government budgets and looking for savings, although more of that should be done. It means understanding what things governments are good at doing and what things they're not. Should government employees cut grass and trim trees, or should government pay private vendors to do it? I'm Patrick Bargy.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I mentioned I want to play this audio of Senator Steve Daines' remarks yesterday at the Congressional Gold Medal Ceremony for the 13 fallen service members who were killed at the Abbey Gate during this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. First, here's the report from Fox News Radio following that ceremony.
3 years after making the ultimate sacrifice while helping frantic civilians flee the Taliban during the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, service members' loved ones accepted awards on their behalf. This after House Foreign Affairs Committee Republicans released a report finding, quote, the administration misled and in some instances directly lied to the American people at every stage of the withdrawal. Committee Democrats objected to the GOP characterization, but at the nation's capital, the mourning was bipartisan.
All right. And then I mentioned it was Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines, who, as you know, has just been pressing for some sort of recognition for these fallen service members and their families for quite some time now. And so yesterday that finally occurred. Let me pull up real quickly here for you the full remarks of Senator Steve Daines at that Congressional Gold Medal ceremony yesterday. All right, I think I've got it queued up for you. Here we go.
Speaker Johnson, Leader Jeffries, Leader Schumer, Leader McConnell, members of the cabinet, honored guests, and most of all, to our Gold Star families of the 13 fallen, thank you for being here. We are honored by your presence. I'm U.S. Senator Steve Daines of Montana. I'm a husband, a father of four, now a grandfather of six. I'm also the son of a U.S. Marine. When I was being raised, my father taught me the motto of the Marine Corps, Semper Fi, always faithful. He also taught me the values of service and sacrifice to our great country. And I can tell you the values that my Marine Corps dad instilled in me were my motivation to honor the memories of those who served. And these values are what inspired me to introduce the legislation awarding Congress's highest honor to the 13 brave service members who sacrificed for our country on August 26th, 2021 at Abbey Gate. I remember that day well. It was a beautiful summer day in Montana. My wife and I were in my pickup. We were traveling across the western part of our state, headed to an event, when the news broke on the radio. My immediate response was to call my dad. My father's 85, my mom's 82, and they both live in Montana. So I called my dad's cell phone. And my dad is a tough Marine, but he didn't pick up the phone. My mom picked it up. And I said, Mom, have you heard the news, what happened in Afghanistan? And my mom says, we heard it. Your dad's heard it. I said, can I talk to Dad? And she said, he can't talk right now. He can't talk right now. To the families here today, the loved ones who lost at Abbey Gate represent the values of service and sacrifice to a cause bigger than themselves. I know that each one of you played an important role in instilling those values in your sons and your daughters. And for that reason, they represent the best of our country. And because of the important role that you play in their lives, you represent those values too. And therefore, each one of you represent the best of our country as well. As we stand here today, it is impossible for me to understand the pain and the depth of your loss. I've never had to go through what you are going through. But I do know when pain runs so deep, words are often inadequate. And with that in mind, I will speak to the rest of the audience here today, my fellow members of Congress, others who are guests, and those who may be watching. It was their duty to serve. It is our duty to remember. In proclaiming the first Memorial Day in 1868, General John Logan wrote, and I quote, "Let us raise above them the dear old flag they saved. Let us in solemn presence renew our pledge to aid and assist those whom they have left among us. A sacred charge upon the nation's gratitude, the soldiers and sailors, widow and orphan." It is our duty to remember the service, the sacrifice, and the faithfulness of the 13 brave men and women who fell that day. But it is also our duty to remember their loved ones as well. Because in remembering and honoring the memory of the fallen, we provide their families comfort. And today is an important step on that journey. The 13 who fell will join such distinguished heroes as George Washington, Winston Churchill, Harry Truman, and Ronald Reagan in receiving the Congressional Gold Medal. On behalf of a grateful nation, we thank your sons and daughters for their service, and we thank you for the values and character you instilled in them to give them the last full measure of devotion. It led them into harm's way for the cause of freedom and for the country they loved. There is no higher calling. There is no greater service. There is no greater sacrifice. Thank you for being here today, and may God bless and comfort our 13 Gold Star families.
All right, that was Montana Senator Steve Daines at that Congressional Gold Medal ceremony yesterday in the Capitol in Washington, D.C. And, I had it right in front of me here. He was the author of that legislation to recognize those family members. Here we go. This was the Congressional Gold Medal ceremony in the Capitol Rotunda, honoring the 13 American service members who were killed in the terrorist attack at Abbey Gate during this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Senator Daines introduced the bill to honor these brave men and women with the Congressional Gold Medal. And, of course, yesterday their families presented with that medal in the Capitol. Let's see. I got some messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app. Earlier this hour, I played that near 4-minute montage put together by Fox News Radio remembering the 9/11 terror attacks back on 9/11, 2001. Carrie in Franny, Wyoming says this: Aaron, how is it in 23 short years we went from being a united patriotic country to the current an American-hating country? It seems like there's so many in this country that are of that element, doesn't it, Carrie? We've got deliberate anti-American propaganda being pushed on our kids, and in terms of critical race theory and media that constantly bashes America and constantly undermines America. It's not just that they're anti-Trump; it's that they bash America. And meanwhile, they continue to fail to hold account our enemies, like Iran, which, as I mentioned earlier, is one step closer to getting a nuclear weapon. Tater in Forsyth said this about that 9/11 montage. She says, that montage gave me the chills. If it doesn't, you better check for a pulse. Tater, thanks for that message. All right, let's see. I've got some more messages that have come in talking about the presidential debate last night between President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. I'll get to those coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll have the phone lines open for the entire 7 o'clock hour as well. Coming up right after this, I want to play the latest legislative update from Jeff Lasloff in the Montana Family Foundation. Usually we play that every Friday, but I've been out for a few days, so I didn't get a chance to hear it yet, and I don't think you got a chance to hear the latest Montana-specific update here from the Family Foundation, so we'll get to that right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
He's got to be burdened by what has been, and that's ABC Disney's job too tonight. But I have no faith in them. Maybe they don't want conservatives to go to their theme parks, because I don't know. I think people are already sick of Disney being woke. A running mate wants to build a 30-foot ladder factory if Trump builds a wall 25 feet or higher, gives legal driver's licenses to illegals, free college for illegals, feminine hygiene products in boys' bathrooms, gender-affirming care, but you don't need parental consent, wouldn't call the National Guard during the rioting in the summer of 2020, but they did open the family home windows so they can smell burning rubber from the rioting. This is what we're up against. There's so much at stake.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, when it comes to selecting and installing new window treatments, it may seem like there's nothing between, let's see, high-end designer and some random unqualified guy with a power drill. But guess what? There is a better way, and that's where Blinds.com comes in. Now, Blinds.com, you're going to get the savings of a local handyman with the expertise of a professional interior designer without the risk or hassle or expense. From premium woven wood to motorized shades and more, you can get unlimited window treatments now installed for just one low cost. Now, you can't agree on a style with your partner? Well, just talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free. If you need help with measuring and installation, well, they'll help you with that also. And yes, you can get that in-person service and confidence from the comfort of your own home. Why? Because Blinds.com ships samples directly to you. They make it easy, fast, and free. And if you shop at Blinds.com right now, you get savings up to 40% off site-wide. That's up to 40% off site-wide for a limited time when you go to Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tax Relief Advocates, real solutions for real people.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I just had a really funny email come in. I'm glad I checked my emails. Usually it's easier to get the app messages on our Montana Talks app, but I'm glad I checked my email because Lee just sent me a hilarious email about the debate last night. All right, let's see. Let me jump right into it here. Normally, we play the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation every Friday, but I was out Friday, and so I missed the update, and I imagine you did as well. Here's Jeff Lasloff with the Montana Family Foundation.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Lasloff.
Have you ever heard someone say, "My mind's made up, don't confuse me with the facts"? Probably not. It's more of an attitude than a spoken phrase, but spoken or not, it exists, and sometimes in some surprising places. We might expect that attitude from an uninformed, stubborn individual, but what happens when it comes from powerful governmental entities that control huge budgets coupled with the power to legally enforce their position? It happens more often than we would like to admit, and a perfect example came to light at a conference that I recently attended. The topic was gender transition procedures on minors, and the speakers were doctors and researchers from outside the United States, mainly from Europe. As we've debated these policies over the past decade, the prevailing attitude from the medical community has always been, we're the doctors, or the Montana Medical Association, or the Montana Nurses Association, and we know better than the parents, policymakers, or small number of medical professionals willing to question the accepted norm. The problem is, might doesn't make right, and there's not always truth in numbers. The good news is, truth is beginning to prevail, as it usually does given enough time. For years, the medical community marched lockstep when it came to treating gender dysphoria. They said that puberty blockers, hormone treatments, and irreversible surgery helped more than harmed, even in the case of young children. They pointed to an outdated study that used a flawed methodology and a small sample size as proof for their claims. Now, thankfully, large peer-reviewed studies are being conducted, mainly in Europe, and they're finding just the opposite. Children suffering from legitimate gender dysphoria need counseling, not surgery. As a result, gender transition procedures on minors are being banned by governments across Europe, leaving the United States and Canada as the two nations still promoting these dangerous procedures. As the Biden administration continues to push policies that force schools and hospitals to participate in so-called gender-affirming care, Americans armed with solid European studies are beginning to push back. Parents are angry at schools that allow boys to enter girls' restrooms and locker rooms and to play on girls' sports teams. More than half the states have now banned these types of policies. Montana has passed strong legislation to protect girls and minors from adults that would harm them to push a political agenda or for a profit motive. The Biden administration directives have been challenged in multiple lawsuits, and this week, we got a win. In a lawsuit filed by Texas and Montana, a federal judge blocked implementation of a Biden directive that forced any hospital receiving federal funding to perform gender transition surgeries. The original ruling only applied to Texas and Montana, but this week, the judge expanded the ruling to include hospitals nationwide. Hopefully, this is just the beginning as we join Europe in reversing course on this dangerous ideology that has permanently damaged so many children. It's a poignant reminder that doctors should think for themselves and not bow to coercion from captured medical associations or agenda-driven bureaucrats. Only then will children struggling with things like gender dysphoria receive care that helps rather than harms. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, coming up after the break, after the Fox News update here at the top of the 7 o'clock hour of the show, I'll share that funny email I got from Lee about the presidential debate last night. Plus, I've got more messages. Jay in Billings, Tim in Billings, Lightbrows in Hardin sent us a message as well.